This evening's shir is sponsored by Jeffrey and Yardena Miller, Le'ilui Nishmas, Jeffrey's father, Mr. Joseph K. Miller, Rabbi Yosef ben Aaron Shmuel Hashem Yikom Domo. His yard site is this Shabbos, Parshas Vayechi, Yud Dalet Teves. So his neshama should have an aliyah from the Divrei Torah that we will share tonight, and how fitting it is that we share the Divrei Torah in the Beis Medrash, in the Beis HaKnesses that is named in his memory. So he should have an aliyah neshama from all that we do in here. We are all aware of the terribly horrific, tragic accident that happened this past Matzai Shabbos. It was actually right outside of my house, so I'm certainly aware. And this evening's shir should be a schus l'refuah shlema for Miriam Bas Ina Pesia Yocheved, as well as for Chana Eliana Bas Naomi, and Rachel Esther Bas Tamar. Tonight's shir is actually in response to someone who asked a question that was directly related to this very harrowing and tragic situation that is going on. And I think it's an interesting opportunity for us to understand something that we probably have heard of, but probably have never looked into. So the question that was raised was, sometimes when you have a chole mesukam, sometimes when you have somebody who is gravely sick for whatever reason, so we have all heard of the concept that often there will be a shinoi hashem. They will change the person's name. So the question is, number one, what is that all about? How do we understand what changing the name actually does? And number two, the question that I was asked was not really about the general issue, but more in the specifics. Not for this case in particular, but were there to be a chola whose name was changed, would you have to then go back and change the name on their ksuba? So we know that a ksuba delineates the husband and the wife. It says that who the two parties are. It clearly states who they are by name. But now that the name has changed, do we then have to go back and change the ksuba, even though they may have been married 20 or 30 years? So I thought that that was a fascinating question, a very interesting question. Again, I was not asked about this situation in particular. I have nothing to do with the particulars of this case, but I think it's just an opportunity. It was on someone's mind. They asked me that. It was an opportunity to think generally about this whole concept. So number one, before we get into that, I know that I'm competing a little bit with the Tehillim rally that they're having in North Woodmere. I feel a little bit uncomfortable about that, but at the same time, I felt that Torah has to go on. And although we certainly are dedicating our Divrei Torah not only to the Miller family yard site that is upcoming, but also to all those who need a refuah shlema, I just thought that it was worth addressing it for a moment. One of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon points out that it's important for us to remember the power and the efficacy and the effectiveness of tefillah. And in particular, the Vilna Gaon pointed out, when there is an eis tzara, when there's a painful time in the Jewish community, it's an extra special opportunity for us to think about the power of tefillah. And the Vilna Gaon writes that we have to think about the fact that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu strikes the Jewish people in some way, it's the time for us to react and to respond by having some kind of very serious and sincere tefillah. And the Vilna Gaon's lashon is that a tefillah at a time like that is able to be meshaber mechitzo shel barzel hamafsikos beinam levein aviyam shebashamayim. A tefillah that is offered at a time of etzara is one that is able to break down barriers, is able to break down the blockades that are sometimes placed between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in heaven. And unfortunately, writes the Vilna Gaon, sometimes when a tragedy strikes, instead of people focusing on their tefillah and having a moment or an experience of introspection, sometimes, writes the Vilna Gaon, they become indifferent because they're busy watching the videos and seeing how fast was the driver driving, were they going against the red light, and should I have been turning this way, and what if they turned the other way, and what if the car came a second later or earlier, or what if Hatzalah didn't come when they did, and everyone's so busy trying to figure out all of the details about what exactly happened that they don't have a moment to step back and realize what actually happened and take it to heart. And says the Vilna Gaon, when we get into that mode of thinking that everything's natural and yeah, it makes sense, a drunk driver, and it's a terrible thing, and there's no way they could have stopped it, and this, they could have that. And when everyone starts thinking about those things and watching videos, instead of really taking a step back and using it as an opportunity to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a tremendous sense of sincerity and understanding that he's obviously trying to communicate not only to those people who unfortunately are affected directly, but also to all of us who are affected on so many different levels, writes the Vilna Gaon, it's a tremendous waste. And the way he explains it is, This is part of what the Navi describes in Sefer Devarim. Va'anochi haster aster panei bayom ahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hide his face. Explains the Vilna Gaon, we live in a time of hester panim, but there are times in our life, there are times in our experience when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does communicate with us, when he is trying to get a message across. And unfortunately, says the Vilna Gaon, that often we find that people still are behind a veneer. People are still behind a mask when the Ribbono Shel Olam is so clearly communicating with them. So, although we're not at the Tehillim rally, which is taking place now, it's an opportunity for us just to think about the opportunity that all of us have to focus on a sincere tefillah, especially at a critical and urgent time like this one. So the shaila, as I mentioned, that was asked was, sometimes when we have a chola, sometimes we have somebody who is gravely ill, so we've all heard of the concept of a shinoi hashem, that we add on a name, we change the name. Now, that is point number one. Shinoi hashem means you change somebody's name. Adding on a name, which is what we have all heard of, is not exactly changing it. You're just adding on an extra name. So it happens to be that the earlier Acharonim, right, when they had a chola and they changed the name, they got rid of the old name entirely and they started all over again. So if the person's name was Usher when he was born, they now changed it to Chaim. And it's not Chaim Usher, it's Chaim. And they got rid of the first one, but that is not the practice today. What we do today is, generally we keep the person's name, we just add Rafael, we add Chaim, we add something else that has some kind of meaning, that we hope that they're going to be able to have the opportunity to continue experiencing many long years of healthy life. So, what is this all about? And the question in particular that was asked, just for those who came in late, the question was, do you then have to go back and change the ksuba? So if somebody's name is written in a ksuba 20 years before when they got married, do we then have to change it if, Rachmana Litzlan, they need to have their name changed later because of an illness? So first of all, it's an interesting point that the Arizal is quoted as saying, the Arizal wrote almost nothing by himself. Everything that we know from the Arizal was transmitted to us by his Talmidim. So Rav Chaim Vital, the preeminent student of the Arizal, writes that it's not impulsive when parents give a name to their child. There's something very special that happens when a parent has a child and then is charged with giving that child a name. So he writes, Nimsa ki kasher nola ta adam, when somebody gives birth to a child, v'korun lo avi v'imo shem echad ha'ola b'daitam, and something pops into their minds. They want to give some kind of name, and it's meaningful to them. Writes the Arizal, Eino ba'akroi, that is not an accident. Oh, just so happens to be, we enjoy the name Meir, we enjoy the name Raphael, so we're going to name our child that. No, it's not the way it goes. Uvim is damim. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu meisim bepiv Hashem Hahu. It's funny, I just said the name Meir. My son just turned one. His birthday was last week, and we named him Meir. The problem was that we have five boys, which is not a problem. It's wonderful, it's great. And they're all so well-behaved and perfect all the time. So my five boys, you know, when you get to your fifth boy, you run out of names. What are you going to name that child? So we were actually having a very difficult time figuring out what to name him. My wife at the time, she's a graphic designer. So at the time, she had gotten a job from one of her clients who happens to be the person who runs all of the Aldaf, the app, the Aldaf app and the All Parsha app. So she was doing flyers for them. And he asked her, can you do an emergency flyer? It's for Meir Shapiro's yard site this week. You know, we want to do something special in memory of him because he was the founder of the Daf Yomi. So Rina said, you know, the day of the bris is the day of Reb Meir Shapiro's yard site. He was a great tzaddik. He was a great person. We have nobody to name after. What do you think about Meir? And we were so relieved. That was just a great idea. And it just so happened on Shabbos beforehand, we were looking through the Beis Shmuel in Hilchos Gittin in Evin Ezer and Shulchan Aruch. He goes through pages and pages and pages of all the names, how to spell everything on a ksuba and on a get. So we were just reading through, you know, anything look interesting here, anything, anything. So we got lucky that we found the name Meir because of one of her clients, which was very exciting. So on the occasion of his yard site this year, we sent the guy a message. By the way, you should know, you are responsible for our child's name. But writes the Arizal, it's not a coincidence. It doesn't just happen that way. There's a reason. There's a siyata d'shmaya, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the name in the parents' minds. Sometimes it comes to you in a strange way. Sometimes you have to look through the Beis Shmuel, and sometimes you just have to look at your client's emails that they send you, I don't know. But writes the Arizal, there is something very uniquely special and connected to the neshama of this child by the name that you give. That being said, we all know that there are situations in which we've heard that somebody's name is changed later on in life. What is that based on? Where does that come from when we adjust a person's name? So that really comes from a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And this Gemara is also mentioned almost word for word in the Yalkut Shimoni. The Alkut Shimoni is on Sefer Yonah, there where the Navi is describing the process of tshuva. So the Yalkut Shimoni there, the Medrash, shares the same idea. So says the Gemara, Amar of Yitzchak, Arba Dvarim, Mekarim Zardino Shel Adam. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, a person is given a Gzardin for the duration of the year, and we assume it goes from one Rosh Hashanah till the next year Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, what if a person wants to recondition their Gzardin? What if a person wants to overhaul the Gzardin that they had? Do you say it's too late? Once Rosh Hashanah came and went, so now it's too late? Or do you say, no, maybe this is a lingering process and I have the opportunity to somehow change that and remodel it in some way? So the Gemara says there are four things I can do that can help to change the gzar din of a person. Says the Gemara, Eluhain, what are they? Number one, tzedakah. If I'm involved in charity, if I'm a generous person, that is number one, the way that I can help myself change the gzar din. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says, tzedakah tatzim limadas. If a person, rachmana litzlan, has a gzar din lemisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees how charitable somebody is, and potentially that can change it. Number two, says the Gemara, tzedakah. If somebody cries out with sincerity, they daven with a very sincere heart, that would be something that would also be able to potentially change the gzar din. Number three, says the Gemara, shinui hashem. If somebody changes their name, that has the ability to change their gzar din. And number four, shinui maisa. Shinui maisa means, if I change the way I behave. How do we know that? Because in Sefer Yonah it says that the behavior of the community in Nineveh was despicable. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that everybody changed their ways and suddenly there was a major transformation. And that is when he decided to save them. So that's what the Gemara says. We learn from there that if I change my ways, that is something that can save me. The Gemara then gets into a discussion. Maybe there's a further detail, but this is the basic story. How do we know if I change my name that that is able to change a gzar din? Says the Gemara, we learn it from Avram Avinu. As we know, Avram Avinu couldn't have children. Sarah Imenu was not able to have children either. The Gemara tells us that both Avram Avinu and Sarah were infertile. They both had their own issues, their own fertility issues, and both of them together, it wasn't that one had the problem and the other was fine. They both had medical issues, but the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to change the name from Sarai to Sarah, change the name from Avram to Avraham, and suddenly, the next thing you know, they have a child. So from there, the Gemara says, it seems that if you change the name, lots of great miracles can happen. Okay, this is quoted the halacha in the Ramah. Don't think this is just an agada to Gemara. The Ramah quotes this in Yeridea, where he says, "Nagu levarach acholim bebeis hakneses." We have a custom that we make a mishaberach for the cholim in shul, and he says we also make a mishaberach to change their name. Kishinui Hashem korea gzardino, because changing the name is able to somehow change the gzardin. So if you have somebody who's very, very sick and you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the gzardin that they shouldn't die, all things being equal, it seems that it's going to go in a certain direction. We don't want that to happen. So we have the ability to change the name. Now, what is this all about? How do we understand that? Is this just superstition? Oh, change your name and all of a sudden we're going to confuse God. He's not going to remember anymore. Oh, he said that Chaim should have a problem and now his name is Usher. So now God is all confused. He doesn't know what to do anymore. I always think about this. Yes, thank you. I always think about it because Erev Rosh Hashanah, we say that we don't blow the shofar. Why? Because we want to confuse the Satan. Really? Is he that foolish? Like, is he that silly? We confused him last year. So he didn't take a note that next year I shouldn't be confused. You know, they tried this last year and the past 1,500 years and somehow I fell for it every year. I don't know. So I don't know how you understand these things, but that's the question here. What's this all about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a gzar din on a person and now all of a sudden we're going to try to trick him and try to get around the system? What if God figured out how to make Shamayim Va'aretz and he knows how to sustain all of life? So now he's going to somehow just forget about this person because they no longer exist. So this is something that's very interesting, and it's actually a discussion in the Rishonim. So the Ritva writes in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on that Gemara, what is the Shinoi Hashem all about? And he explains that when one changes their name, they have the ability to adjust and to modify their mazel. Right? You wish somebody that, you know, they should have good mazel. What does it mean you should have good mazel? It means we believe that there's some kind of mazel to the way we live life. So we wish a person that you should have good mazel in the way you live your life. It should be a mazel tov, right? When we wish somebody a mazel tov, what does it mean? It doesn't mean you should celebrate. It means you should have good mazel. That this shidduch should be well. That this baby should be healthy. That everything should be okay. So therefore, the Ritva writes, when I change my name, I now have the ability to change my mazel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this person whose name is Chaim is going to have this kind of mazel. Oh, now that his name is Chaim Usher, we have to give him a different mazel. So now we can recalibrate. Now it may turn out that the new mazel that they get is also going to be awful. But at least you have a chance of changing something from the mazel that once was to the mazel that is now. Think about it. You think that Avram Avinu didn't have children because he did something wrong? Avraham Avinu was a very pious individual. You think Sarah Imenu did something wrong? I mean, we should never think in such a way. When you see somebody who's struggling with a certain nisayon, somebody who doesn't have good health, somebody who doesn't have children, we shouldn't think to ourselves, oh, what did they do wrong to deserve that? You have no idea. Nistarim darkei Hashem. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu to change his name? It's because he did an Aveira? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu to change his name because the Medrash says, Avraham eino molid. The person whose name is Avraham is not going to have a child. Avraham molid. The mazel is that if you have somebody whose name is Avraham, he is going to have a child. And the Medrash then continues, Sarai eino molida. Sarai is not able to have a child, but if you change her name to Sarah, then all of a sudden her mazel is going to change. Now, this is a very fascinating point in general, because I'm sure many of us have heard, there's a refrain that the Gemara has, that Ein Mazel Yisrael. Anyone ever heard of that? Ein Mazel Yisrael. The Gemara says that in some way the Jews are considered to be outside of the realm of natural possibilities. So Mazel is like natural constellations. When were you born? Which community? Which place? How does it work? The Mazelos, I don't know anything about it. But the Gemara seems to have an assumption in Masechet Shabbos that Ein Mazel Yisrael. How do you know that? So the Gemara says, look by Avraham Avinu. What does it say about Avraham Avinu? He didn't have children. And the Gemara follows that up by saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, come outside. Go outside and count the stars. Why do you have to go outside? Maybe at a window? So God said, no, step outside because your whole existence is going to be outside. Normal life is lived one way. Your life and the life of the Jewish nation going forward is going to be outside of the realm of normalcy. This is not going to be the natural course of events that happens in every other person's life and every other person's life story. And therefore, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him that, the Gemara says, it seems that Ein Mazel Yisrael, we don't follow the regular rules, the natural order that happens in the world. We run by a different set of rules. So then how do you explain this? So that's actually not my question, that's Tosa's question. On the one hand, it seems to say over here that there is such an idea of Mazel. The Gemara says that Bini chayi umezone means nachas from one's children or having a parnasa is not based on my own schusim. It's not because, oh, this person's such a big tzaddik and therefore they have a parnasa. This person's a big tzaddik and therefore they have nice children. It doesn't work that way. The Gemara says clearly that the nachas from one's children or a parnasa is something that is based solely on mazel. It has nothing to do with how righteous you are. It's based on my mazel. If that's the truth, if that's the case, so how do you reconcile all of this? So Tosis discusses it. Again, it's way beyond the purview of this year. Just something to think about. Do we live by regular natural order of rules, how things work in the world, or perhaps not? So, if we have this concept in the Gemara that one is able to change their name in order to have a better mazel, so why don't you say, any time that somebody wishes to change their name or modify the set of circumstances in which they live, they have the right to undergo an elective name changing. So, guy gets an aliyah one day, he's going to say, I'm sorry, we're going to make a mishaberach after, I was fired from my job yesterday, I'm very distraught, I'm very upset, I need a good mazel, I need a change. So, instead of my name being Usher, it's now going to be Reuven. Instead of my name being Levi, it's now going to be Shimon. What do you mean? A person that every day of the week can just change their mazel, do whatever they want. A person's not finding a shidduch. So instead of trying to go out on a date, they say, you know what? I'm going to change my name. Maybe that's going to help me get a better mazel. Maybe it's going to change things. Is that the way it works? And how come we've never heard of that? So that's actually a question that is asked by one of the Rishonim. And one of the Rishonim answers, the reason why is as follows. Imagine if you're going to have that reality, that people are going to, every Monday and Thursday, changing their names whenever they come to shul, whenever they're in the mood. Something's going wrong in their life. You know, I got in a fight with my spouse. I really need to change my name. It's not working out. Let me just change my name. Maybe everything will just rework itself. And maybe we'll be able to, maybe my wife will change her name too. And we'll be able to just move on and have a whole new reality. It doesn't work that way. So why don't we do that? So the Rishonim say the reason why is Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. Imagine what's going to happen if I had a bank account that used to say Shai Schechter. And all of a sudden I'm going to change my name. That my name is no longer Schechter. My name is no longer Shai. My name is now, I don't know, something else. John Smith. So now what's going to happen? I wrote a check to someone, but I closed the bank account a long time ago. I signed a bunch of ksubas in my life. I signed a bunch of shtaras. I was used as an aide. People are going to say, oh, one second, we want to look into this marriage. We seem to remember you were there. It says your name. Oh, but that's not your name. We remember you as something else. 25 years later, no one's going to remember who's who, what name you used to have, what name you have now. That's going to become impossible to identify and to clearly recognize who people are and who they're not. And that's just going to complicate the whole system. So, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, because we need things to be naturally in order. We need things to go by a certain rhythm, and we can't just be changing and switching all the time. So therefore, we have reserved this to emergency situations where you have a chole, who really has obviously a very bad prognosis and has a terrible mazel. That is when we say that a shinui hashem would be something that is appropriate. But just for a person to wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to change my name just because I want to have a different mazel, that would not be something that we would encourage at all. So until now, we've seen what the Rishonim say, that the reason for the changing of the name is because I want to change my mazel. This is certainly the common universal understanding of what Ashina Hashem is all about. What's fascinating to me is the explanation of the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch writes in Parshas Emor, Mitzvah Shin Yud Aleph, he says, what's this all about, Shinui Hashem? What is this, magic? You're going to change mazel? What are you talking about? God created you. This is your mazel. This is what it's going to be. You're going to outsmart him. You're going to change your mazel by changing your name. Doesn't make sense. Writes a Sefer HaChinuch, everyone got it wrong. I'll tell you what it is. And he writes as follows. Inyan HaShinui Hashem Hu. What is this idea that the Gemara mentions of Shinui Hashem? Kedei Sheyachshov HaAdam. It's not made to change my mazel. My mazel is what it is. Kedei Sheyachshov HaAdam. It's in order that I, as an individual, should think. Ki'ilu Hu Adam Acher V'yachsher Kol Derachav. I should imagine myself in a very different way. Look in our community. You have many high school kids who are being high school kids when they're in high school. Suddenly they go to Israel, and all of a sudden everything changes. What happens? What's so different about Israel? We have wonderful yeshivas here, we have great rabbeim, we have great moras, we have great teachers. What changes when they go to Israel? Because when they're here, they see themselves in a certain way. When you break out of that mindset, oh, I'm no longer the high school kid that wastes his time, that doesn't do anything productive, that just sits around and doesn't really help anybody do any yeshiva olam. I'm just wasting day by day. When I get out of that mindset and suddenly I see myself differently, it allows me the ability to grow. It's not because the Rabbeim are so much better there. It's not because of Avir Deretz Yisrael Machkim. Sometimes it is. But the main reason that I've heard is because when a young man or woman sees themselves differently and imagines their potential in a very different way, in a way that they never imagined it for themselves prior, it's something that is able to change the entire behavior, the entire character of a person as well. And that is what a Shinui Hashem is. Until now, I look at myself and I say, my name is this, and I have all these failures, and I have all these successes, and I've done this, and I've done that, or I haven't done this, or I haven't done that. And it's very hard to break out of that mindset. And sometimes, writes the Sefer HaChinuch, by doing a Shinui Hashem, by changing my name, it gives me an opportunity to think about myself, and to consider, hey, maybe I can be different. Maybe I can be something else. This has shaken me up so much to the point that I'm not that same person. And says the Sefer HaChinuch, every time I say my name, my new name that I now have, and I remind myself that this is not the way I was for the first 25, 30, 40 years of my life, writes the Sefer HaChinuch, Yitin Libo El HaInyan. It will make me be more reflective. It will make me be more attentive about what my potential is, about who I can be. Forget about the failures. Forget about all your successes. I don't care how successful you were. You have so much more to do in life. Forget about all the failures. I understand that you failed many times, but try again. And allow yourself to put yourself together. And says the Sefer HaChinuch, that is what this is all about. I find that to be a fascinating psychological understanding as to why it is that we do a Shinui Hashem. And that's what it seems from the Rambam as well. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that there is a process, there's a method of how one is supposed to do tshuva. So the Rambam goes through it, and in the middle of that method he says that part of the process of tshuva is Mishana Shemo, that a person changes their name. So what does it mean, Mishana Shemo? Writes the Rambam, Kilomar, as if to say, Ani Acher, I'm somebody else, I'm trying to do tshuva, but I'm stuck in myself. It's not really me, it's something else, it's a different person. When I think of myself differently by having a new name, I recreate my own identity, and I see new possibilities in a way that I never saw myself. Says the Rambam, that's what a Baal Tshuva needs to do. And what I find fascinating is, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I couldn't find it today, I was looking, it's in one of the Sfarim, I for sure saw it before, but I just couldn't locate where it was this morning. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in one of his Sfarim that he wasn't sure, if let's say you have a chole, and the chole is, we think that the chola is never going to come out of this illness. Right? So Shlomo Zalman, he's not sure if it makes sense to change that person's name. Why not? Because that person can never appreciate the name change. If the point of the name change is not just to play around with my mazel, but the point of the name change is to make me think about myself differently, says Shlomo Zalman, what does it help if the person's in a coma and al pi derech hateva, there's no way that they're going to come out of it? Why would we change their name? For what? They'll never have the opportunity to appreciate what you just did for them. And that, I think, is just a fascinating idea, fascinating concept to think about, because it's so counterintuitive. We always think, oh, when there's nothing left to do, that's when we're going to change the name. My father often says, that's the wrong time to change the name. That's when you're praying for a miracle. Change the name when it's not as terrible as you think. You have somebody who's undergoing treatment, and you're not sure what's going to be. That's when you change the name. You don't wait until they're a chole masuka, until there's no choice left but to go on hospice care. That's not when you change the name. You change the name way earlier on. So the question, there's a major discussion, we don't have enough time, but there's a major discussion in the Achronim, should a ger, shenizgayer, should he change his name? If the Rambam says that part of the tshuva process, part of elevating myself is to change my name, the Achronim say maybe it would make sense for a ger, for a convert to change their name, even if they have some kind of very nice sounding name, and it's wonderful, it's not a Christian name, it's not a Muslim name, so it would be a Jewish name anyway, Abraham, whatever it may be. Still, maybe there's a reason to change my name because I'm a different person, and I need to look at myself differently, and part of that process is by thinking about the fact that I have a new name. So what happens to the ksuba? When somebody is a chole, and they change their name as a result of their illness, do they now have to redo the ksuba? This is a fascinating question, and it's a very important one. So there's a sefer called Nachlas Shiva. Nachlas Shiva is the authoritative sefer on Hilchos Shtaros, on Hilchos Gittin, gives us all the guidelines. I was wondering how you wrote such detailed responses to my shiur last week. Now we'll see. Typing along the way. Good for you. So the sefer Nachlas Shiva writes that we should try to the best of our ability to be as meticulous as possible, not only in a get, when we write out the names in a get, we know you have to write all the nicknames, you have to write all the names that people do call them, even if it's not a real name. But he says in a ksuba also, we should try to be as accurate as possible. Why? The reason why is because if Rachmana Litzlan later on in life you're going to have to write a get, the most obvious place to look is back in the ksuba. So we're going to look back in the ksuba and see, hey, what is this person's name? How do you spell the name? So he says, that's why we have to be as careful as we can when filling out a ksuba to do it in the proper way. Actually, on Sunday, I was at Rabbi Leibowitz made a wedding. So his brother, Rabbi Avi Leibowitz, is a great Talmud Chacham, lives in Palo Alto, California. So he came over to my father and he asked a question. He said he was just looking at a ksuba of somebody who's in his community. It was a shaila on the ksuba, and part of the shaila was that the Masada Kedushin had a sloppy handwriting. Instead of writing Canada, which is where they got married, he wrote Chanada. He filled in the kuf. So it says, Ches Nun Dalet Hey. So we all know that there's no place called Chanada. We all know it's clear. This is the couple. These are the names, first names, last names. We know exactly when it was. We know where the wedding was. It says the date. And we all know there's no place Chanada, so it's clear that it's Canada. But the question is, do you have to redo the ksuba? So my father said, if it's Muva Me'elav, it's so clear that obviously this was a mistake. It's not like there's some other place that sounds like that maybe you can confuse it with, so then we don't have to redo it. And that's generally the assumption by Iksuba. It doesn't have to be as perfect as a get, but we try our best to make it as accurate as possible. Now, if that's the case, the question here becomes, how much do we need to worry about a name that has been changed? Does that make us now go ahead and change the ksuba as well? So this is actually a shaila that is raised by one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Rush. And the Rush writes that it used to be the minhag that somebody who had a Shinui HaShem didn't just add on a name like we do today. The person's name was Reuven, so now we call them Reuven Chaim. No, that's not what they did. They used to get rid of the name Reuven, and now when the person got better, they only called them Chaim. They got rid of the entire first name. In that case, the Rush writes clearly, if your name changes entirely, and you don't even go by the first name that's written in the Ksuba, so it says that Reuven married Leah. That would be his mother. Not a good idea. Reuven married Dina. Be his sister. Also not a good idea. Anyway, whoever, you figure it out. Reuven marries a very nice woman, but now Reuven is nowhere to be found because his name is Chaim. So then, certainly, the Achronim say, you have to change the Ksuba because that person no longer exists. But if we just add one name, Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in Chosha Mishpat, if you're just adding on a name, everybody knows this person's name is Reuven. So now he goes by Reuven Chaim. That's okay. And therefore he says it would not be, if it's not such a major change, meaning we still kept the original name but we added something onto it, it would not be something that we have to change later on. Something that I'd like to mention once we're talking about this issue is, every so often you go to a wedding. I remember my father went to a wedding. My father is a very responsible person. Every time he goes to a wedding, he brings the invitation with him in his pocket. And I always asked him, why are you taking it with him? He said, he never gave me an answer. He never told me why. So until I got older and I realized he's taking it with him because you get to the wedding and sometimes he's called up to read the ksuba or he's called to fill out the ksuba and he looks at it and he says, hey, you know, you didn't spell the chassan's name right, the kala's name right, the first name, the last name. Look at the invitation. That's not the way they spell it. So he always pulls it out and looks it over. So he's sitting at a wedding. I remember this. He's sitting at a wedding and you hear somebody reading the ksuba under the chuppah and he says, hey, that's not the kala's name. So he turns to somebody next to him and he says, it's not the kala's name. So my father pulls out the invitation, and he sees Kala's name was Sarah, and on the ksuba it says Rachel Sarah. So My father said, what's this about? So he goes over to the father of the Kala and he says, why does it say Rachel Sarah in the Ksuba if on the invitation it says Sarah? Like, did something change in the last 4 weeks? He said, of course something changed. What happened? He said, we called him a Kubel today in Eretz Yisrael. We told him that the Chassan's name is Tzvi, the Kala's name is Sarah. And he said, oh, he looked up in the Himmel and he realized it's not a good idea, it doesn't work. This doesn't add up to that, and the gematria of this is that, and whatever that, and whatever it might be, and he doesn't like it. So we're gonna. He said we have to add a name, Rachel Sarah. We can't go with the original name. I made up new names now, but he said they can't go with the original name. So they added the name. So it's very nice. The problem is a ksuba like that is puzzle, because it says in Shulchan Aruch that even if you add a name, you can add a name. It's okay. It's not a problem. But even if you add a name, as long as that name was not around for the past 30 days, you cannot write it in a ksuba. You have to give a name 30 days for people to become used to it in order for it to then be binding. But if for 30 days it never lasted, then you would not go. And that's relevant to this case as well. If Rachmana Litzlan, you add a name to a chola, and then the person, Rachmana Litzlan, passes away, they don't get out of that illness. So you didn't have a time, you didn't have a period of 30 days when that name actually stuck. So we get this question all the time. Do you add the new name onto the Matzeva, or do you keep the old name? And the answer is, if it was only less than 30 days and it never became known that this was the person's name for a 30-day period of time, they never got an aliyah, they never anything like that, then you would not write it onto the new ksuba. The Acharonim talk about there were a lot of people who were very concerned about the fact that you shouldn't have the same name of the mother-in-law as the daughter, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, a whole story. So Rav Moshe writes that there were people, I think Rav Moshe writes this, that there were people who used to change the name, on the ksuba. It shouldn't seem too closely connected, the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, and you shouldn't have the same names. So he just used to add on names, and he says it's inappropriate. It's okay to add a name, but when doing so, it has to be a name that was there for at least 30 days, and if not, then you cannot write a ksuba with the new name that was just added on the day of the chasna because somebody told you that the names don't add up and the name is not a good shidduch. Whatever the chachma of that whole idea is, it's something that al pi halacha you have to be very wary of. So, okay, something to think about. Again, our Divrei Torah should be Ilei HaNeshama for Yosef ben Aaron Shmuel Hashem Yimkom Domo, Mr. Joseph K. Miller, whose yard site is this Shabbos, Yud Dalet Teves. And our learning this evening should also be L'Schus Refuah Shleima Miriam Bas Ina Pesio Cheved, Chana Eliana Bas Naomi, and Rachel Esther Bas Tamar.